What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Just past the edge of town, where the streetlights end and the woods begin, there's a creature that screams through the trees. A road where headlights appear, but there's no one behind the wheel, and a tree so cursed even the snow won't touch it. These stories, they're not urban legends from far away, they're ours. And if you grew up around here, you already know what I'm talking about. This is New Jersey. Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite merry deadly duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky, where I tell the stories and he gets dragged along for the ride. Your usual weekly merry duo.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Today, I'm going to take you, and everyone else, of course, who's listening, because we love you guys so much. I'm taking you guys to my home state.
Oh, Lord.
The beautiful state where the notorious Jersey Shore was born and raised me. Okay. We're talking about the only state where you don't pump your own gas because...
There's two.
Nope. Since 2023, Oregon changed that rule.
Oh,
they got a self-service station
you
now.
You looked it up, huh?
I sure did. Okay. But...
guess we're never moving to Oregon.
New Jersey is
Why
the only state...
Why did you just do a country voice?
I don't know. It's a problem.
I think you're watching too much Yellowstone.
Yes, we've been watching Yellowstone, and I am hooked. Call me a cowgirl, okay?
Call me Beth.
I was about to be like, call me a buckle bunny, but don't.
No.
I was joking. I'm learning so many new phrases, okay? But no, I'm taking you to the only state where you don't pump your own gas. You actually have, you just don't do that there. The state... where Mr. Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen were born, okay?
Born in the USA.
I was born. Yeah, so good, okay? Einstein was also born here.
What? Yes, he was.
I got a little bit of twang in my voice today.
I don't know. You got to knock it off.
Guys, I'm sorry, okay? The state where we don't know if we call it Taylor ham or pork roll.
No, you guys always call it Taylor ham.
No, well, the problem is, being from Jersey... Oh, I said it. Oh, schmootsies, that's where we're going today. New
Jersey.
You had
already said it.
Yeah.
You already said it.
Anyways, what I was going to say is, being from New Jersey, okay, the North calls it Taylor ham, the South calls it pork roll, so it's a constant battle between the two on what do you call that little piece of ham in between your egg and cheese and bagel in the morning.
Well, I call mine bacon because I always get a BEC.
Right, so then it doesn't apply
exactly.
To this right now. It doesn't apply to this. But anyways, we are going to New Jersey today, okay? If you guys don't know anything about New Jersey, home of Jersey Club music, okay? This is the Garden
State.
Could
you give us an example of some Jersey Club music?
Dancing, bam. Lots of beats. All I'm going to say, guys, just look it up, because all I'm going to say is that it was a masterpiece, okay? It was a time to be alive. It was a time to listen to music, to dance at the clubs. Jersey Club was and will forever be in my heart, okay? That's just kind of what it is. This is what it is. But today, since we're going to New Jersey, we're going to be talking urban legends, okay? In New Jersey.
Are you going to take us down this dark road that's super spooky and scary?
You want to wait till I tell you the story? Do you want me to even tell you anything, or you want to just assume you know
everything?
Oh,
I'm ready.
Wingy, I know a spooky story. Just you wait, okay?
Hey, CJ went along with us for this ride, and both of us told you.
We will get there.
All right.
My goodness.
Let's dive in.
That's the problem with you. You are so impatient. Is anybody other's husband out there so impatient?
Whoa. Pointing the finger at impatience.
You're like, why don't you hold the mirror up to it, girl?
The first month before my birthday. Man, it sucks. You gotta look at all those birthday presents for a whole month.
Wow. I'm sure I am not the only one in this boat, okay? It is harder than you think.
No, because my sister Jessica wants to open her Christmas gifts and tell everyone what she got them.
Listen, I totally relate because I love that, okay? I just want everybody to open their gifts. I've already got birthday gifts for our nieces and nephews, okay?
Oh, we are.
Not birthday gifts, Christmas gifts for our nieces and nephews already. And so I'm very ecstatic. Very ecstatic. You clearly have heard of one of the urban legends. There's plenty. I'm going to get a lot of people don't know either. Okay, so we're going to get right into it. And we're talking about three urban legends up in New Jersey. Jersey has a lot of really, every state honestly has its own urban legends. I'm curious, we should do one on Indiana because I've never really thought about that. Because you're from there. But I would, we'll definitely do. Honestly, at some point I would love to cover an urban legend in each state. That would be fun.
Damn,
that would
be cool. 50.
All 50, maybe 51.
Imagine Montana doesn't have shit.
Stop. No, Montana's definitely got it. It's the Dutton Ranch, the Yellowstone.
And you're back at it.
I love the show so much. Okay. Let's get into it. Imagine I made a podcast and we talk about Yellowstone.
You get your favorite musician on it.
Yes. Lainey Wilson. Girl, and Chris Stapleton. My God. You guys have been fueling that soundtrack, and my goodness, I ain't disappointed and I ain't upset about it. Please keep doing what you're doing, making the music you're making. We're talking Jersey legends, okay, talking about three of them today. Now I want to start with the most infamous urban why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just smiling.
Yeah, like you're looking at me like you're in love with me.
I am.
So cute. Stop.
All right, let's go. We got Jersey legends.
Okay, well, man, you're making me blush. I can't be spooky if you're blushing.
It's the setup. The setup's feeling nice.
Yeah, I know. We got the candles on. All right. Let's jump into the first urban legend of today's episode.
Bum, bum, bum.
The Jersey Devil. Okay.
Hockey.
Yeah, part of it. Sure. Yeah, exactly. Part of it. Because let's start with the most famous legend to ever flap its leathery wings across the state. Now, I said the Jersey Devil. Have you ever heard of it?
Only the hockey team.
Just the hockey team. Did you even know that it had an urban legend?
No. I honestly thought that was just the name of the hockey team. Didn't know where it came from. Didn't think anything of it.
You just thought they were like, yo, Mad Dogs, Devils.
Yeah.
Yo, you rough, bro.
It's the same. Well, it's the same.
Sorry.
Devils don't bark, I don't think.
Oh, I don't know. No, we'll get into it.
All right, let's do it.
So if you're not from New Jersey or a diehard fan of cryptids, this is one of the main cryptids. Now, you know how Disney's got the princesses and all that, okay? Now, in the world of the paranormal, we've got cryptids. Okay, I feel like I'm saying that word wrong. Cryptids. No, I'm right. We good. Anyways.
Cryptids.
In the paranormal world, in the urban legends, we've got your typical cryptids. Cryptids, okay? Jersey Devil is one of them. Chances are that you've probably never heard of this thing. But for those of us who grew up here, the Jersey Devil is, no joke, folklore royalty. Growing up, I knew about the Jersey Devil. I didn't hear it as often as a lot of people know about it. I feel some of the other, some of the other urban legends I've heard of more than the Jersey Devil, but also the Jersey Devil kind of coming to talk more about it. But he comes more from the South Jersey. So I think that's why, because I'm from North Jersey. So before we go any further, I'm going to paint you a picture. Okay. The Jersey Devil is said to be this terrifying flying creature about the size of what I was reading. It said 6 to 7 foot large man. So he a baddie. He tall.
He a basketball player?
Yeah. No, yo, imagine. No, he's playing for the NHL. It stands on two hooves, has a long serpent-like tail, bat-like wings, and it sort of has like this goat or horse-like head with glowing red eyes and sharp teeth. That's why when I did the barking, I'm like, you'll see.
Oh.
I mean, he could be whatever he wants to be. He's a devil, essentially. Yo, don't be making fun of me. Don't be making fun of me. I love you. I love you. Its body is thin, bony, almost skeletal, and it walks upright like a man, but it screeches like nothing you've ever heard before. Some of the screeching noises that I've been reading that they compare it to is kind of like a banshee, a wailing banshee, you remember from the Irish folklore episode. They've also said that it kind of, you've ever heard of a fox scream?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know how it sounds really eerie and it's like screeching and you don't even know what it
doesn't sound like an animal.
Yeah,
it sounds human.
Yeah, and you would never even think that a fox could even make that type of noise. And here's the thing, people actually have said that they've seen this before. They've seen the Jersey Devil. Yeah. The legend dates back to 1735 in a small town called Leeds Point, nestled deep in the Pine Barrens of South New Jersey. According to the most popular version of the story, a poor woman named Mother Leeds became pregnant with her 13th child. And upon hearing the news, she was very upset. She reportedly cried out in frustration, saying, "Let this one be the devil."
Oh, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, 13 children, damn.
Yeah, but wishing for 13.
I feel you.
13's already not a lucky number. Wishing for your child to be the devil?
Well, that's allegedly what she say, because some versions say that she was a witch. Others say that the child was cursed from conception. But what they all agree on, all these legends and different stories, is that when the baby was born, it changed absolutely horribly and quickly. In front of the midwives, the child began to morph. Its arms stretched into wings, its feet split into hooves, its face elongated into a snout, and a long tail whipped across the room.
Jesus, sounds like a Jason Blumhouse film.
Seriously, if anything, a lot more spookier, because a goat or horse-like snout with hooves and glowing red eyes, that just says devil, you know what I mean?
Well, you know what I mean? Lie. When you initially said hooves and man up top, I thought of Narnia.
Oh, what are those called when they're half?
I can't remember. Minotaur.
Minotaurs? Yeah, what?
Minotaur.
Yeah, but I thought the same thing. But anytime you hear of any type of story involving the devil, that is no joke. The go-to description of what a devil looks like. So when I was reading it, it was just freaking me out. Is it Minotaur?
Confirmed, it is a Minotaur.
Nice, okay. We figured it out. Great. Now, from that moment on, after it decided to split his feet into hooves and fucking whip his tail.
Transform.
Yeah, and transform metamorphosis into his new body, it was no longer a child, clearly. Okay. Now, it became something else, a creature that would live on to be feared and whispered about for the next nearly 300 years. Now, you might be wondering, where does homeboy live?
I was just going to ask, where could we go and try to see this man?
All right. Now, the Pine Barrens in New Jersey, it's this massive, eerie stretch of forest. It's over 1.1 million acres of dense pine trees and bogs and wetland. It's very desolate. It's silent. It's easy to get lost in. As you can see, because I'm showing you a map right there, it goes through a bunch of different counties. It's just this huge Pine Barren.
It's a forest.
It's a forest. Thank you. You took me a while to get the word out on that one. That was rough.
It's a big...
It's a big...
Giant...
Plants, leaves, grass.
There's trees and leaves on the ground and it goes...
Animals.
It's called a forest.
Yes, exactly. Now, over the centuries, the Jersey Devil has been blamed for killing livestock, screaming through the woods at night, slashing at tents or cabins, peering through windows, chasing cars down on remote roads, and generally just terrorizing all of Pine Barrens. Yeah, the whole Pine Barrens. Now, it doesn't seem to kill people, because there's really no kind of legend or story that I've seen from the research I have. If anybody sees something else, let me know. But he doesn't really kill people. He mainly stalks them, watches them, and sometimes he may fly over their heads in the dead of night, leaving behind some hoof prints, broken branches, and screams.
That kind of sounds cool.
No thanks. But it really reminds me of the Irish folklores we covered for the St. Patrick, because I think, was it the Pooka that kind of like... Yeah, the Pooka liked to mess around with its victims. and he would kind
it was,
of.
It was a teaser horse, right?
Yeah. Well, he was seen. Mr.
Steal Your Gore.
Yeah, he was seen very often as a horse.
Mr. Steal Your Girl, not Gore.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. I figured we'd move on from that. Okay. I was like, it's okay. Now, the most infamous wave of sightings came in January of 1909, okay? It was an entire week of chaos, apparently. Police across multiple counties reported attacks on trolleys, sightings on rooftops, and footprints in the snow that defied any type of sensical logic. Sensical, wow.
Imagine if Sasquatch.
Sasquatch, that would be insane, though. Which, I think Sasquatch, does he have a home, Sasquatch?
I think Alaska. Ooh,
look it up. Oregon. Look it up. Yeah, because I'm thinking more Midwest.
Está Sasquatch.
Yeah, because I thought people said that they saw them in, like, Utah, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Pacific Northwest, Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's just kind of around there. But I thought people say they saw him in Wyoming and Kansas
people
and
are
Minnesota.
People are going to say they saw him everywhere.
Well, that's true.
Because everyone wants to witness a
Sasquatch.
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Sasquatch legend.
Right. Okay, so the most infamous wave of sightings were that whole week, right? The police across multiple counties were reporting attacks, schools closed, factories shut down, people discovered hoof prints in the snow, trolley cars were attacked, and police in Camden, New Jersey fired at this unidentified flying creature.
That's wild.
Right, and Camden and Bristol, the officers that fired at the flying creature said that it just refused to die.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Were and they this shooting muskets at that time?
Well, it was 1909, so it could have been. Yeah, it could have been. But these are all obviously passed down from Legends of the Legends or whatnot. But still, even
it's
thinking
like telephone.
About... Yeah, and even thinking about it being like that, that is spooky, because if this was a whole week that was reportedly just wreaking chaos, it's insane. Because the fact that schools and mills shut down, that was
that
crazy.
That means it's a big deal.
Well, and you know what makes it even a bigger deal was because the Philadelphia Zoo offered a $10,000 reward for capturing it.
Damn.
Yeah, so I'm sure that...
they said, capture him so we can have him on exhibit.
We literally, no joke. And that's why, to me, I started thinking, no, they have to really... They must have been really scared at that time for everyone and their mom to have been believing.
Especially at that time.
Yeah.
People didn't get scared over stuff.
No. And if there was
one too many drones and everyone's, what is it?
It's a witch. This is just modern day and age witch.
Yes.
The Salem witch trials pretty
this
much.
This is going to be in history.
And those witnesses were describing what they were seeing as this winged kangaroo with a horse's face and piercing eyes. So as you can see, you know, all these sightings of him kind of are matching up in their own way.
And yeah.
Right. So it's really odd. The other thing that I found super interesting, that even Joseph Bonaparte, which was Napoleon's brother, swore he saw it while hunting near Bordentown, New Jersey in the early 1800s. He said it stared at him with glowing eyes and then took off, soundless and very swift. And I'm like, now we've got...
Mr. Bonaparte's little brother or older brother.
Little bro? Oh, what did I say? His little bro?
I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, no. He was
you just said
his brother.
Brother.
Yeah, I didn't look that part up.
I mean, who knows? Napoleon was short, so he probably was taller brother.
Maybe. Could have been. Could have been. But that's what I mean. So many sightings from...
Everything.
It's just crazy.
It's a lot of the same historical...
Right. And they're coming from...
And they're connecting the same basic features. Obviously, just like Sasquatch, everyone that claims they've seen him has explained it slightly differently.
Different, yeah.
But it's all, for the most part, same similarities.
Same similarities. Yeah, it's so very true. And the most recent sightings that have surfaced thus far, I was reading that in 2015, a man from Galloway Township posted the now most famous photo of what he claims was the Jersey Devil flying through the air. And it looks like a deformed horse bat hybrid. Its wings spread wide, and I mean, it has a screech or whatnot, but that photo went viral.
Damn.
I know. I don't know what that could be. I mean, it could be a pinata. I don't know.
What fucking kind of pinata is black and literally looks like it's flying?
I know. It is strange. It is very strange. I mean, there's nothing that I could really describe what that would be.
I really want to see this. with my
are
own
we
eyes.
Making a trip? Yeah, are we making a trip back home? Well, that's the photo that went absolutely viral. Others have shared trail cam footage images showing strange hoofed prints or horn shadows moving through the trees. And hikers in the pines have reported hearing that high-pitched scream that he supposedly, well, that he makes, followed by complete and utter silence after that. Which, when I was reading that, I kept thinking, well, yeah, if I was any other animal in the forest and I heard that, I would shut my ass up too. I'd be like, what the hell was that? The fuck? No joke. So in 1980, a ranger in Wharton State Forest reported hearing a horrifying scream echoing among the trees. But he said there's no bear or mountain lion that could match it. And so the only most recent sighting, like I said before, was just that man in Galloway Township who took that photo. And that's the most recent, like 2015 is the most recent of any type of sighting that we've seen him, which I find interesting because I do believe in the paranormal. I do believe in the afterlife and ghosts and things like that, right? But what blows me away is that the further we go in, well, I don't know, but the further we go into the decades and technology keeps growing, we hear so many sightings of things before, but now we have photos. I mean, we have phones, we have cameras, we have like such high tech, we can barely ever catch something on footage, which is what blows my freaking
mind.
Maybe
they got smarter.
I mean, they could have. I mean, scammers are getting smarter every year. Every year. They're getting even better every year. So I can only imagine these urban legends are like, fuck, dude.
Just give me your social security number and I'll let you take a photo of me.
They're like, shit, man. Apple just came out with...
I'm your CEO. I need you to go buy me 5 $100 Google Play gift cards.
No, that's what I mean. I just feel it's kind of crazy because as we get older and as technology gets better, it feels like the sightings of these type of urban legends or these ghost stories or whatnot become way further and scarce, barely in between. Yeah. So that's what I always find so interesting. That's why I also love watching Nuke's Top 5, the YouTube channel, because they will take in footage from all over the world of people who have experienced some type of paranormal. You guys should go watch it. It's so freaking good.
The Asian ones are always the scariest.
Yeah, well, it's like anything that is not in the U.S. because there are scary videos and they're from the U.S.
But anything
outside of the U.S.,
right,
like
right.
other countries, it just for some reason hits different. It's spookier. Anyways, let me move forward. So some say, my bad for my little detour, but some say that this is a demonic entity. He was born of a curse, but others think that it could just be a mutated animal. Maybe something science hasn't classified yet or we haven't found. There are skeptics, though, who chalk it up to owls, sandhill cranes, or just mass hysteria because we all love a good urban legend, a good folklore. But here's the thing. For 300 years, people from every walk of life, like I described, have said the same exact thing about it. He's a winged beast with hooves and red eyes that disappears before anyone can catch it screeching. So to me, I grew up in Jersey. I've heard of the Jersey Devil, but imagine if you're just a passerby. So yeah. I'm going to take your account a little bit better because you might not know. You may not know about the urgent.
Intentionally looking for it. Yeah, right. I see what you're saying.
And it comes up and it reminds me of the Brown Mountain Lights in North Carolina. Same thing. Not a lot of times it's hard to be caught on camera because by the time you could even take your camera out, it's gone. So for Jersey, this is not just a legend. Clearly it's a big identity of the state because it's on t-shirts, they have it on murals, they have it on beer labels and bumper stickers. And over the centuries, the devil has just become a part of South Jersey culture. Like you said, the NHL hockey team, they're called the Jersey Devils, and they chose their name from this legend. So that's exactly where that name comes from. Conservation groups used this legend to promote preservation of the Pine Barrens, but don't let that fool you because even now, long after the panic of 1909, there are still some people who say that they heard it, they saw it, and it's real. So same thing when I think about any other urban legend and a lot of people. I mean, I've seen things that I can't even explain or describe. So imagine the
you're not alone.
Yeah, exactly. So I just think that's crazy. That one, I was like...
That one's cool.
Yeah. You like that one?
That one's a good one.
You fucks with him?
Yeah, fucks with him.
Yeah, you want to go visit?
Fuck yeah. I'll be like, can I put a saddle on you? Can you fly me through the air? Think of how cool that'd be.
No.
He can run through the forest at like lightning speeds, and then I can put a saddle on and say, all right, giddy up.
Anyways,
let's
okay.
fly.
Glad you love the first urban legend. Let's move on to our urban legend number two. We're going to be talking about something that you and me personally know about. Why? Because I took you and CJ, your friend, God. To the Clinton Road, everybody. Now, anybody who is from Jersey or just loves Jersey and knows a lot about the urban legends, Clinton Road. Okay, this is staple, signature urban legend, because this is something that we could all go do. I took Tom and his friend CJ, which is what he was talking about earlier, thinking, oh my God, I'm going to spook them. This is going to be so much fun. But when we get there, it's going to be so spooky. And plus, I don't want to do this on my own, so I want to do it with someone. And so I get to do it with my husbies and CJ. And so we get there. Tell me how the whole time they're not even impressed. I'm spooked, and they're not even impressed. And I'm like, oh, my God. And, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat being like, isn't that spooky? It's so scary. Turn off the music.
You had even told us about everything that you're going to get into about the road
right.
and the history behind the road. But you got to understand, this road to us is just like any other Indiana Midwest road.
I know.
It's dark, and that, to me, is the only thing that makes it spooky.
But it's spooky because there's a legend behind it, okay? But yes.
You know how many roads in Indiana are spooky?
No, I will agree and attest to that.
How many roads have legends?
Okay. What I'm saying is that this was the one I was going to take you to.
All right, let's get into it.
I clearly underestimated that you wouldn't find it that spooky because you grew up in the spooky roads of Indiana. Apologies. But
no, you... Okay.
I'm just saying, I didn't expect it. I wasn't anticipating it.
We used to drive home from friends' bonfires late at night when it's pitch black, and it'd be foggy on the road. So when you're driving with your headlights...
Okay.
It was eerie already.
Is this a contest?
I'm just saying, used to it.
Well, I'm just saying, speaking from me, a city girl, that's spooky, okay? So I thought you guys were going to be spooked out, but it was really funny when we got there, and you guys were
we hit the end of the road, and both of us looked at you and said, that's it?
I was like, what do you mean? Well, let's talk about the Clinton Road, because there's also something, did we do what I think we did?
Where we got out of the car?
Hey, can you stop?
I'm just saying we got out of the car.
Yeah, but you clearly can read my mind, so just say
I just wanted to make sure.
You're ruining it for them. My God, I want them to have the best experience. Okay. Clinton Road is located in West Milford, New Jersey. It's a very rural town in Passaic County, northern New Jersey, about 45 minutes from New York City. The road itself stretches roughly 10 miles long from Route 23 near Newfoundland to Upper Greenwood Lake. It's narrow, winding, and mostly very, very forested, lined with a lot of thick woods on both sides, no lights, very few homes kind of spaced out, some further out than others. And for most of the drive, there is no cell service. So that's what also drives it to being even spookier in the legend and the story itself. Mm-hmm. It is also famously eerie because it's been called America's most haunted road. Okay, so what about you with your Indiana spooky roads, okay? This is known as a spooky road.
I'm just saying that I think it's all Jerseyans calling it that.
Shut the fuck up, okay? We don't give that damn dude what you're doing. Clinton Road has been the setting for decades of ghost stories, cryptid sightings, creepy cult rumors, and unsettling real-life crimes. I know you weren't very impressed with the road, but it's fine. Other people will be.
Let's just keep going.
Let's start with the most iconic piece of Clinton Road lore. The Ghost Boy Bridge, okay?
Yes.
Yes, this is what we did. This is what we did, remember? Legend says a young boy drowned near one of the bridges along Clinton Road at Dead Man's Curve. Some say he was trying to retrieve a coin, or he was pushed in, or I've also heard that he either fell in while he was playing and he drowned. And now, if you stop on the bridge at night and toss a coin into the water, it's said that he'll return it to you. Some people say they've heard it clink onto the road behind them when they turn away. Others have said that they've found the coin on their car's hood. And a few have even noticed wet handprints on the back windows of their car, like someone small may have touched the glass. Now, the most common one that I remember growing up, which is the one that I told you guys, was involved a couple tossing in a quarter, waiting, and then hearing a soft splash. They find the coin back on the bridge, still warm, on the ledge, and that's when they get in their car and they speed off. So remember we ended up doing that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was CJ. You and CJ got out or something?
We both tossed multiple coins to the river because neither one of us thought.
It was so spooky.
One, it's not even a river. It's called
a
river.
Creek.
It's a creek.
Yeah, it was cute.
If some kid drowned in this,
you don't know how it was back in the day. It could have been. It could have been
a
river.
By all means, it could have happened.
He was a boy, a baby boy.
If the boy was maybe a year old, I could see it.
Wow. First off, you don't even know. You don't even know. You're just talking out your ass.
There's
right now.
Rocks in that
I
creek
know,
that's
but
stuck
the,
above
it's
the
for
water.
The legend. It's
okay,
for the legend.
You're right.
We did get out of the bridge. We don't know how
you
it was back
didn't.
In the day.
You
no,
stayed
no, I
in
didn't.
The car.
I stayed in the car because I was like, oh my God, this is so spooky. I can't believe it. And I remember you guys also turned off the headlights.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure we threw a coin at the car to try to spook you too.
It was very spooky to me, okay? Nothing ended up happening for us. The kid didn't throw anything back. But needless to say, it was really cool to try it.
It was. He kept our Dollar 25 we threw in there.
Damn, Dollar 25. Shit. Yeah, damn. Well, another story that's reported over and over when it comes to the Clinton Road are the phantom headlights. Now, imagine you're driving alone at night and suddenly bright headlights appear in your rearview mirror. Now, this is pretty common in a lot of states, I feel, or other urban legends, is these phantom headlights. But let's say you slow down, you let them pass, but they never do. And when you check the mirror again, nothing's there. They're gone. No engine, no sound, no tire marks. Some believe it's a ghost vehicle warning people to leave. Others think it's tied to a real death on the road, maybe a driver who didn't survive. Either way, the feeling that it leaves behind to a lot of people kind of stays with you for days, and that's what makes it so spooky. We didn't see any headlights.
No.
I think we saw a car, but it was a car.
Yeah, we saw a few cars, and we passed one or two trucks.
We did, yeah.
Which I remember, because he said the road's very narrow. And CJ and I both same thing. That was another. This is.
I'm so.
You call this narrow?
City girl. Okay. I didn't know much about the Midwest until I met Tom. So if this doesn't tell you the conversation.
You've been out to the Midwest plenty of times. We have
now,
even narrower roads.
I know. I'm saying, yeah, definitely. Now I have been, and I'm. That's like nothing. But still, it's spooky. Let me have it.
No, spooky is hitting a road in the Midwest. And then all of a sudden, you just see a combine coming out in the middle of the night.
Oh, my God. No, spooky. Yeah, spooky is like getting to a sign that says, you better turn back. Lead ain't cheap or something. What's the thing that's...
Okay, the typical sign in the Midwest.
Yes,
is,
what is the sign?
There will be no warning shots. Lead is not cheap.
That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is. There's another reoccurring story, a black pickup truck that seems to materialize out of nowhere and tailgates you aggressively as if you're trying to run you off the road. We didn't experience that while we were there, thank God. But when you finally pull over and try to confront it, it's already gone. No engine fading into the distance, no lights around the bend, just nothing, as if it wasn't there. Some say the truck appears near the Devil's Curve, a sharp bend where multiple accidents have happened, which is also... where others claim that why it's connected to the Ghost Boy, because where the bridge is
where the creek is.
Yeah, the Devil's Curve.
We parked. I'm looking at the picture and I recognize it.
Yeah, when
we parked right here in that little bend.
Yeah. And so some believe that it's connected to the Ghost Boy, and it was probably how he could have died as well, right? Mystery. Well, he couldn't have drowned. So maybe that's not what happened. Okay. Maybe he just got hit by a car, unfortunately. Now, we've been on the road for a while, so let's talk about what's off the road. There are actually scattered ruins in the forest, mostly remnants of like old iron works and buildings from the 18th to the 19th century, which is kind of super cool.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Jersey, New York, all those states, I feel like have
New
so
England,
much history.
There is, yes. There is a lot of history there.
I mean, think about even Kearney. Wasn't Kearney founded in 1830 something?
Yeah, I forgot what it was, by General Kearney something. Yeah. No, there's a lot of history. Well, if you think about it, Alexander Hamilton. That's when he got shot in Weehawken in New Jersey, remember? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By Aaron Burr, sir.
Exactly. And there's, remember in the musical, it said something about New Jersey. It's like, oh, no one, there's no rules in New Jersey.
No, I thought it says, the quote is, everything is legal in New Jersey. Fun fact, if I recall, it actually also took place very near where his son got killed, too.
Oh, yeah, you might be right about that. I forgot. But yeah, you might be right about that because, yeah.
Oh, dueling was illegal in New York, but it wasn't illegal in New Jersey.
Right.
Which isn't that wild?
I know. What has it become?
We lived in a period where we really had a set of rules in the world. Hey, you get pissed off at this guy, by all means, you guys can go count to 10, draw your guns, and whoever lives wins the duel.
Wins the duel, yeah, no, I know. It
it's
is kind of
10 dueling commandments.
Don't. Number one. Okay. One of the ruins in particularly of the old remnants looks like a large circular stone structure. Locals call it a druidic temple.
I'm thinking of Stonehenge.
Similar, it's a kind of a smaller bricks. Locals call it the Druidic Temple, and I looked it up. Usually a Druidic Temple is a historical structure associated with ancient Celtic priests called Druids, or a modern-day structure or site used by contemporary Druids for rituals and spiritual practices.
So is it Irish? Because Celtic
priest, yeah. I mean, I think that's more in the Irish realm. But the thing is it really actually druidic? No. It's likely just a remnant from a smelting furnace or an old paper mill. So it's just really run down. Yeah.
Okay.
But with the, I mean, a lot of run down ruins in the forest always look super eerie and creepy. Oh, yeah. So that's where a lot of people thought that it was one of those temples where people go and do their spirituality stuff for the druids and Celtic priests. Now, when you see it at night and it's crumbling and overgrown in the moonlight, it feels like it's ancient and very powerful. It also reminds me of, what's that owl thing that you were talking about?
Oh.
I keep forgetting the name of it, but
I have to get into that.
The Secret Society?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bohemian Grove.
Yes, Bohemian Grove, that Secret Society. And you know how at night when you see the temple of the temple that they show at this Secret Society is like this huge owl and it looks creepy. Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me of this too, because not that it's an owl or whatnot, but anything at night that we give the legend of it being something in that realm of spiritual, sacrificial, whatever, it just looks even creepier at night. So that's why a lot of people associated with calling it or being a druidic temple. And according to the lore, this is where they believe satanic rituals and cult gatherings have been seen in the forest. So,
ooh,
I know,
okay.
Very interesting, which is a thing.
It's
New
a
Jersey
thing.
Has a dark history.
Yeah.
Yes. Stories from hikers say that they found small effigies, which are sculpture or models of a person.
Okay.
And they've also seen symbols carved into trees. They've encountered animal skulls arranged in circles, candles melted on flat rocks, and even hooded figures spotted in the woods. So very spooky.
What do you mean? You don't just naturally do that in the forest? You don't just grab skulls and... Nope, burn candles and have seances and sing
cute?
Songs.
Right, so cute. Some claim to have even been chased or watched, and others said that they've heard drums or whispers coming from the trees. There are even stories of albino cannibals that supposedly live deep in the forest, and that one I think is probably a stretch or whatnot, but I just had to mention it.
Okay.
But in the dark, if you think about it, when you're in the dark, your mind doesn't care what's real or what's not. Everything looks over-exaggerated because
it's
scary.
I think it's also because you're on edge, too.
Right, and you're kind of your adrenaline, you're more pumped. So a lot of these stories are just insane, but it all derives from somewhere, which is kind of crazy, and it just gets molded. And unfortunately, it's not just a legend, because in 1983, a cyclist discovered a human body near Clinton Road. It was wrapped in garbage bags and stuffed into the woods. And turns out that it was actually a mob hit, and that man had been murdered in New York City and dumped here, probably because the area was so remote. Even law enforcement has described Clinton Road as sort of a dumping ground, the kind of place where you could hide something and it may never be found, which makes a lot of sense because anywhere remote like that, I always think, especially when we go out to Tennessee and we pass the Smokies, I always think, how many dead bodies are in there that we don't know about?
Montana.
Yeah.
Yellowstone. Everything we've been watching.
Yeah, you really don't.
Here's your train station.
Right. Please go watch it. It's so good. But exactly that. And that's where, to me, that's what also adds to the lore and makes it even spookier, because you can never be found. That's spooky as hell. That is so spooky. And even when we went, I mean, I know nothing happened and it wasn't that spooky for you guys, but it was spooky for me. Okay. It was spooky because if you think about all of these things together, what we talked about, what was on Clinton Road, what's in the forest off of the roads, it really combines a lot of the main pillars to make a spooky place.
Very spooky area.
Yeah. And for having those urban legends being grown and evolving there, it's just enough to keep the truth being real, but also it's urban legends, you know? It just kind of feeds into it.
It just makes it fun.
Yeah,
and
it feeds into it.
Spookiness.
Right. And when the legends start lining up with, you know, documented events and eyewitness accounts, I mean, you saw the murder, the disappearances, ruins, bizarre architecture, you kind of start asking, like, damn, could it be real? Could that really happen? And if you do believe in paranormal and folklore and urban legends and stuff like that, it is spooky. And I kind of do.
Oh, Lord.
Did you like that one, too? Because it reminded you of fun times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad. But what's the last one?
Well, just outside the quiet suburb of Bernards Township, New Jersey, in a seemingly harmless open field stands a tree.
Oh, my God. A tree?
A single crooked oak with split branches and scarred bark, baby. No signs.
Man, these city folks.
No trails.
You see that tree out there? Oh my goodness.
It's so spooky. Listen, I'm not going to let you shame me. It was spooky to me. Okay, it was spooky to me.
All right,
this tree is actually called the Devil's Tree, huh? How about that? How about that one?
You know, we have a hiking trail in Indiana called the Devil's Backbone.
Well, that's spooky.
It's not. It's actually a really scenic route.
I really wonder why they call it that, though.
Buddha got to hike it.
I'm going to look at it. Back to the Devil's Tree, mister, because it is spooky, okay? You'll find it off the mountain road in a clearing near a residential area. Now, it's not in the middle of the forest, okay? So it's not like there's anything spooky around it. It's in a field with a narrow dirt path leading right to it. That's part of what's going to make it creepier.
Oh.
Because the tree stands alone. No other trees are nearby.
Not those other two little tiny twiggly trees next to it?
Wait till we get... That's the branches off. The okay. branches off. Okay. Jeez. Okay. Jeez. The tree stands alone. No other trees nearby. And no birds nest in it. No animals sit on its branches. And even if you knew nothing about this legend, your instincts... From what I've been reading, people say when they're around it, your instincts kind of scream that something's wrong here. Now, what's the story behind the Devil's Tree? Because you think it's not so spooky. There are actually multiple origin stories surrounding the Devil's Tree. None of them are going to be pleasant, so get ready to be scared.
All right, let's do it.
One version claims that a local farmer murdered his wife and children, then walked out to this very tree and hung himself from its largest branch.
That seems very...
Insane.
Likely.
Yeah. Which also reminds me of The Conjuring. Remember the tree?
I was actually going to say that
like it,
the
right?
tree looks like the tree from The Conjuring. And then the same tree, I can't think of the production company. There's a production company. I think it's Lightning Road Productions.
Okay. What the hell?
The lightning strikes a tree down a road. And it also looks like that tree.
Looks like that
it's
tree.
It's just in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So if you think about that tree and this tree, it's spooky. It looks creepy or whatnot, right? Another claim says that the tree was used as a lynching site by the Ku Klux Klan during New Jersey's darker hidden history, which is there is a big history of the KKK there, which I did not know that until I got older, which is insane. Because of those rumors, some believe the ground beneath the tree is cursed or tainted with blood and hatred, fueling the tree's sinister energy. Whether or not those events can be confirmed, the stories still persist because one of the most enduring claims is that snow will not fall around this tree. Even during a heavy snowstorm, people say that the base of the tree stays perfectly clear, like it's radiating heat. Some have even tested it, taking photos or placing objects around the trunk and claim that it's true. There's a lot of he or she's, she says, he says. But others say that the earth near the base feels warmer, even in the winter, than other tree sites. Skeptics call it a coincidence. Locals obviously call it a warning. This isn't just don't go near it. It's said that if you touch the tree, if you mock it, try to cut it down or even spit on it, you'll be cursed, is what the legend says.
Interesting.
People claim they've gotten sick, suffered injuries, or even had fatal accidents shortly after disrespecting the tree. One man reportedly tried to cut the tree down in the early 2000s. His chainsaw jammed and kicked back, breaking his collarbone. 2 weeks later, he died in a freak accident. Now, these are all urban, these are all
damn
legends. But that just goes to show, and if you do see the photos, there is a big, what would you call that, divot of being, of
no, that's definitely, you can tell, well, that's not whacking, that's definitely a chainsaw
cut.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, I know my,
but damn,
I know my tools.
Your chainsaw bit that hard that it kicked back and snapped your collarbone?
Well, and it reminds me even of, was it The Conjuring or The Exorcist? The priest goes home and because he obviously was trying to perform his exorcist, he ends up dying, or maybe The Conjuring or whatnot. Yes. So it kind of reminds me of that, like if you touch it, then you're cursed or whatnot. Another man was said to have taken a chunk of bark as a souvenir and his car burst into flames later that week.
Are we sure he wasn't burning oil?
Imagine
his witness statement. Yeah, the car started overheating. And
it was hot.
I mean, it was fine.
It was hot.
But then all of a sudden, it just bursted into flames. There was nothing wrong with it. It was just overheating. I mean, there wasn't coolant left in the car.
Hey, I mean, you never know. But technically, that's what the claim has been from anybody that tries to touch it, take anything from it, or do anything to it. Teenagers have reported seeing shadows move across the field as they approached it. And some said they've heard whispers. Others said they felt watched the entire time. Now, to me...
Imagine it's other teenagers thinking somebody's a cop or something.
Like,
so they ran to hid.
And it's really like we're just nobody... Yeah, everyone's scared.
Everyone's scared of each other.
I could see that. But also seeing as anybody could just be walking around anywhere, that's so spooky about, well, anywhere where it's a forest or just
anywhere
land
that's not a city.
That's right. That's right.
My little city girl.
Thanks. Then there's the truck. Multiple people have told stories of seeing an old pickup truck that appears out of nowhere if you get too close to the tree, especially if you try to touch it or take something from the site. Now, the truck is said to appear on the dirt road leading up to it. It apparently will follow you, tailgating, flashing its brights, even revving the engine. But no matter how fast you drive, you never see the driver. And when you finally pull over or look back, it's gone. Some believe this is the spirit of a man who killed his family, now guarding the tree he died on. Others think the truck is just the tree's way of kind of enforcing rules and whatnot. So there just seems to be a lot of different types of...
I mean, is it on somebody's private property?
I don't know. I didn't see anything about that or look... Or even... But I mean, I didn't think about that. Let me see if that's...
Because if it is, who knows? It's probably that guy's truck.
Yo, imagine.
He's probably pissed off at all the high schoolers sneaking onto his land.
All right. So what I'm reading, it says it's located in Bernards Township, right? New Jersey, like I said, off of Mountain Road, in a field that is technically private property, though it's not fenced off from public access entirely. The tree became such a magnet of curiosity, vandalism, and ritual attempts that the township erected a chain link fence around it to deter people from touching or damaging it, which is what I was going to mention. But while visitors still frequently walk up to it, it is technically considered trespassing to be on the land, though enforcement seems to vary. So
okay,
it really
so
just
it
depends.
So it is somebody's private property.
Yeah,
he probably just
seems...
doesn't give a shit because it's...
I mean, who gives a damn?
He's probably... It's probably one of those, well, keeps happening. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to keep
and
stopping it.
Also gives off to... I also think see it too as... what is it? When people are... Because a lot of people will go to New Jersey to go see these places. So if you think about it, that also helps with tourism and... money and his weed. I don't fucking know, but you know
what
I'm saying.
Guy sets up a pie stand next to it.
He's like, oh, they'll get it this time. Now, over the years, people have tried to destroy the Devil's Tree. Chainsaws have malfunctioned. Blades have snapped. At one point, officials had apparently attempted to chop it down, only to have accidents and pushback from locals who feared what might happen afterwards. And then eventually they put the chain link fence around it, like I had said before. And in attempts to just kind of stop people from vandalizing the tree or just doing anything to it. But unofficially, locals say that they feel that the chain link is there to contain whatever energy lives inside the wood, which has also been said as sort of a warding off an evil energy spell, mm-hmm. is by wrapping a chain around it.
Lock it down.
If you visit the tree today, what you might see when you go there is coins scattered in the dirt, charms or small items hanging on the fence itself, notes tucked into the links, flowers, bones, even burned out candles. Some people leave offerings, others leave challenges like taunts, graffiti, they carve it in the bark. You know, some people like to play with that and think that, you know, oh, let's see what it does. I'm going to do this. If anything happens to me. But everyone pretty much leaves with that same feeling that something was either watching them, that they either are unlucky, and hopefully maybe the tree forgets that you were even there, which is what makes it really spooky. And I mean, it does look scary.
It does look spooky.
It does look scary. Now, some say it's just this creepy looking tree within the unfortunate history that it has, but others believe that it is a spiritual portal, a doorway to something darker. There are even whispers of the tree being a beacon that draws spirits, entities, and misfortune to anyone who gets too close. One theory ties it to Native American lore, suggesting that the land was sacred and has been desecrated. Another connects it to ley lines and energy vortexes. But regardless of the theory, no one denies that the tree has a presence. Even standing at a distance, you can kind of feel it. Even me looking at the photo, I don't know why, but it makes me feel heavier or more eerie, or it just looks creepy. I would like to go see it, though.
All right.
I kind of low-key want to go see it. Yeah, I low-key kind of do want to go see it, because that leads me to my next question to you. If you were there, would you touch it?
Probably.
Really? You wouldn't even think about it?
No. If you hadn't told me about it, I 100% would have touched it.
Okay, what if the Annabelle box was around? Would you touch that?
That's a little different.
Now I'm putting you in a crossroads, huh?
That's a little different because there's a reason Annabelle is locked down.
What about this tree? There's a reason the police put a chain link fence around it.
Keep people from fucking vandalizing this poor man's tree on
his
land.
Could be the same reason for Annabelle. Am I spooking you yet?
No.
Spooking you yet?
Because everyone believes in Annabelle. She's a creepy Raggedy Ann doll.
Well, you didn't believe in Bloody Mary and you became her friend, her bestie.
Well, yeah, that's a different story.
So you touch this?
I don't know. Probably.
Please don't, okay? You're the one who drives, and I'd like, if I'm gonna be in the car with you and there's an accident,
some
be
Final
bad.
Destination shit happens.
Yes, yes, I could just see that. Didn't I just give an idea before?
Yes.
Because ever since we saw that movie, I can't, everything I'm looking at, it's giving me, this can happen because this can happen because that can happen, and then this happens, and then you're dead.
Yes, you saw there was a crack in the glass in the Washington Space Needle.
No way.
Yes, ma'am.
You're joking.
It's all over socials.
I did not see that. That's crazy. I would never. I'm not. No, thanks. Well, after Final Destination, I think I have to re-look at some things. But anyways, what you thought about today's urban legends? The three. There's a lot more, of course, but those are the three I wanted to cover. The most notorious ones, I feel.
Here's my takeaway. Tom's takeaway.
Oh, here we go.
The way I see it is that the city folk are nervous of anything that's not city.
Yes, but
well lit or has a lot of people around it.
Wait, because
okay, hit me.
Jersey, I was up in north.
Well, besides the Jersey Devil, that's its own.
No, no, I know, but I'm saying a lot of Jersey is
isolated,
forested, all that. Yeah.
Yes.
So city folks, just me with the city folk. Okay.
Correct.
Right. But we're talking about people who were born and raised in the South Jersey, who were born in the sticks.
Well, in that case, I chop it up to be urban legend.
Oh, just you wait till we cover an Indiana one. I don't want to see.
No, that's
I'm going to be like, that's even not
in,
spooky.
Even
no,
in
I'm
Indiana,
I'm
that's
getting
how
defensive.
We are.
I'm
we
just getting
we do the same thing. Indiana, we come up with folklore, legends. That's how we pass time. That's how we make things interesting. We tell stories.
Yeah.
And these stories continue to grow. It starts as a story, but then all of a sudden you pass it on generation
to
generation.
Do you have one off the top? Yeah, because that's what an urban legend is. That's what a folklore is. Duh. Anyways, do you have one off the top of your head?
No.
Yeah.
There's plenty in Indiana.
Yeah,
but no.
Yeah, but you don't even know one. My state's cooler than yours. No, joking.
No, we got plenty of haunted places.
Well, you guys are the state of corn, so.
Yes.
I love me some corn.
See, that's the other thing. We used, growing up, if you wanted to kiss a girl, you would take her on out into the back roads till it got dark, and then you,
yeah, Lover's Lane could never be me.
No, it wasn't like that. We never had an actual Lover's Lane.
Yeah, like, it was well, just I'm saying a serial found killer.
Yeah.
Well, you did have a serial killer, Herb Baumeister.
Yes.
Yeah, but he wasn't. Yes. I'm sure that there's definitely a lot to talk about. There's a lot to talk about Indiana.
If you've not
that's
listened
sure.
to that episode, please go back and listen to part 1 and 2. You'll be hooked.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed today's urban legends. This really just reminded me a lot about home and makes me want to what
go
we
get
go
ramen.
Back. Oh, thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
Hey, yo, it's your boy. We'd love to hear from you. Seriously, if you have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, doesn't matter how small you may think it may be, send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode. Hey, think about it. We just did one. We had some great stories, some great episode. Really, submit your story.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned, more mysteries just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, my friends. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.